This episode of On a Dark Cold Night is brought to you by BetterHelp. We all have different capacities for social interactions. The moment I started respecting and watching my social meter, as though it were a health bar in a video game, I started learning how to take care of myself better. I thrive off of my alone time. Others thrive off of social time. We all have different needs. And therapy is a great way to give you the self-awareness to explore what yours are. Through therapy, I learned some skills, like how to remain calm when my social meter is running low, or how to find little moments of quiet time to breathe and recenter when I'm in prolonged social situations. If you're thinking of therapy, BetterHelp is a great way to get started. It's all online and designed to be flexible, convenient, and well-suited to your schedule. You fill out a quick questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and if you don't find your therapist to be a good fit, that's totally fine. You can switch therapists at any time with no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/darkcold today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/darkcold. This is a good time to take a break for a breath together. Breathe in slowly and deeply. Pause here. And release the breath slowly and gently. Time for the theme song. You've come to this place invited, my friend, and thank you very much for coming. Thank you for so politely waiting for me to open the door. Thank you for kindly and respectfully walking through these halls with me as we head towards the banquet hall. That's where we're going tonight, for there is a dinner party being held here. I would say that I'm throwing a party, but it's not quite true. It would be more accurate to say that there is a party at the castle. Perhaps this castle is throwing the party. I know approximately as much about it as you do right now. I know, because when I opened my eyes in this place, I was standing in the hall, holding an invitation that told me, "Banquet Hall, soon." Just a location and a time, sort of. I must admit that, though it was more of an order than an invitation, I was intrigued. How exciting. A little daunting. I don't know who else is invited. I'm relieved to know, however, that you were. Now at least I will know someone when I go. Isn't that always nice? Let's head towards the hall. Have I been to the banquet hall before? I don't think so. I used to tell lots of stories about banquets, great feasts, wonderful celebrations. But I never thought one might be held here, in this place. Desolate and silent as it can often be, I like to think that it's warm and inviting too. I wonder who's coming tonight. I wonder what the occasion is. How very exciting. Help me open these large stone doors.
I wonder when she'll get here.
I wonder if she'll come at all.
I would certainly be surprised after all we put her through. Oh, shut up. It was good for her.
Better creatures have been through worse after all.
Still, I don't feel very good about it. Well, she doesn't have to come.
I would be surprised if she does.
What on earth will we say? Nothing. We'll just have a lovely evening with completely civil talk.
Unless, of course, she wants to apologize.
Oh, we do. None of that. None of that. Just enjoy.
How
are we supposed to do that? How on earth should I know? Figure it out. You want me to do everything for you?
No, it's
you
just that
I'm
not used
to
this.
You don't have to be like that. We're trying our best.
Wait.
Someone's coming.
Sitting at a comically long dining table, there are three figures. They all sit on one side of it, as if they were being painted in the Last Supper, all facing one direction. And that direction faces you and I, my friend. The heads of the table are very, very far away. One at the end of the banquet hall, where sits a glorious carved fireplace, with stone lions and gargoyles roaring at the burning within. And the other end placed just by an enormous window, where there is a storm of snow, sleet and hail, thunder and lightning, trees clinging to their roots for dear life in the almost full moonlight. No one sits at the chairs at either side of the very, very long rectangular table. Hello, I say to the three sitting there.
Hello.
Good evening.
Look who decided to come.
Why do they seem familiar to me? And yet, like nothing I've seen before. The one in the center looks very angry, face red as a beet with that anger, hands in fists, clutching at non-existent flaming swords, always, as his firmly set jaw and hard mouth seem to be always on the verge of crying out for battle, revenge, justice, action, punishment, victory, who knows. Six wings, three on each side, though each one's feathers are crooked, broken, some scabbed over and bloody, as if they never fully healed before their owner headed into the next row. The one to his right is a little nervous, constantly looking to her other comrades for approval and affection that they won't give. Her fingers strum nervously in the air, playing anxious and tightly strung harps that might have once existed, but are now gone. Six wings now, two on this one, though hers are green and bruised and perhaps overly plucked out of nervous grooming. And the one to his left seems bored, bored and done with it all. He looks around at the banquet hall with interest, however, always looking for something new for his eyes to fall upon and learn more about. And once that's done, the excitement is gone and his eyes are on to the next thing. His fingers tap impatiently against the table with forks and knives and spoons, as though they were magic wands or wizard's staffs, that ought to make his dreams come true, and yet they do not. Six wings here as well, that look as though they were once white, but have been dipped again and again in blue ink, or splattered with paint or bleach to blot out mistakes again and again, while painting, writing, creating. And all three seem to have scars around their foreheads, where crowns once sat. And they all have that fearsome, decaying look that only things that were once extraordinarily beautiful and now cling desperately to the long-gone image of that beauty, the mistaken source of it, seem to have. Though I must say that each of them does have the most stunning, brilliant, golden eyes. "How do I know you?" I ask them sincerely. One laughs in outrage, one gasps in shock, one scoffs in scorn. The one with the ink-blue wings puts a pair of broken spectacles over his eyes to see me more clearly, and says,
"My dear, you don't mean to tell me you've forgotten."
"Well, I mean, I know you, but I don't know how I know you. I can't remember."
"She's changed."
The one with the green bruised wings whines.
"She doesn't even remember. After all she did, after all we did."
"Hush. She doesn't need to remember everything,"
the bloody one replies.
"It's all right. Let's just say you owe us a debt,"
he says, as he reaches forward and grabs a bloody piece of meat from the table before him. I didn't even notice the food, or how hungry I am. I didn't think I had a body here that could get hungry. I suppose I was wrong. "Well, let's go have a seat, my friend. I will take the head of the table by the window. I would offer you the one by the fire, but it looks as though it's taken by..."